Hello and welcome to the special deep dive. Today we're jumping into the really vibrant scene of GI Tech's Africa 2025 in Marrakech.
Yeah, and we're drawing heavily from a special edition of iMag, which is a Moroccan press group publication, Erisala, I believe.
Exactly. And our goal here is to unpack the big themes, the key insights coming out of this major hub for digital innovation across Africa.
We've got quite a bit to work with. Editorials, reports on specific companies, various initiatives, and this recurring critical voice, the devil's advocate.
Right. That adds a really interesting layer. Think of this as your guide to understanding the digital pulse of Morocco, and really Africa as seen at GI Tech's.
Mm-hmm. Without needing to sift through all the dense reports yourself, we'll pull out the most compelling stuff, the big questions, those moments that made you go, aha.
Hopefully giving you a clear picture of what's happening, and maybe more importantly, why it actually matters.
So where should we start? That opening editorial seems like a good place. Naya 3.0, when faith meets code.
Yes, Naya 3.0. It sets the stage nicely, talking about blending that traditional Moroccan optimism, the Naya, with the demands of the digital age, especially AI.
And what's really interesting is this shift. It talks about Morocco moving from just being a consumer of technology,
which it has been for a while.
Exactly, to actually wanting to produce it, shape it, maybe even regulate it.
That's a big ambition. The editorial stresses the need for, well, smart political decisions, right? And developing local talent.
And, crucially, trusting Moroccan engineers and startups, including those outside the main hubs like Casablanca or Rabat.
Yeah, spreading the opportunity. There's also a warning in there, isn't there, about confusing real transformation with just flashy tech. Superficial effects.
Definitely. It warns against mistake, like a special effects for deep change. It insists on something more fundamental.
So GI Tech's Africa becomes this mirror reflecting Morocco's digital hopes and dreams.
But also posing the question, will Morocco just watch? Or will it actually step up and actively shape its digital future? It's that core tension, you know, optimism versus the hard realities of the AI age.
And speaking of hard realities, that brings us to the devil's advocate, this recurring voice offering a, let's say, more critical, sometimes sarcastic take.
Yeah, they were apparently at GTECs taking notes, and you definitely get a sense of skepticism.
Towards what exactly?
Oh, you know, the overly slick pitches, the smiling AI, the constant talk of disruption that sometimes feels a bit recycled.
Been there, heard that.
Kind of. The focus seems to be on the gap between the shiny tech promises and the actual social realities on the ground in Morocco.
A reality check, then.
Absolutely. A call for a digital world that's not just advanced, but understandable, deliberate, and fundamentally human-centered. Not just tech for tech's sake.
Okay, so we have the optimistic vision and the skeptical counterpoint. What else stood out? There was something about Inwi, the telecom company.
Right. A report highlighting Inwi's commitment at GI Tech's, focusing on innovation and helping Moroccan businesses digitalize.
So established players getting seriously involved.
Exactly. It shows that big companies recognize technology's crucial role in economic development. Their presence isn't just symbolic. It underlines this push for collaboration between established business and the tech sector.
It signals that digitalization is seen as key to economic progress across the board.
Precisely. Now, building on that earlier editorial idea, there's another piece titled La Nia Ne Suffit Plus. Basically, good intentions aren't enough anymore.
Ah, so doubling down on the need for tangible results.
Exactly. This report really emphasizes the need for proof of concept. Not just ideas, but working models.
And things like local cloud infrastructure.
Yes, that's huge. And AI trained on African data sets, not just generic global ones. Plus, critically, startups actually managing to raise capital.
Makes sense. It also frames digital sovereignty as a strategic resource, right? Like phosphate for Morocco.
Yeah, that's a powerful analogy. Controlling your own digital space is presented as vital.
But it's not all rosy. The report mentions the digital divide again.
It does. It highlights this growing gap between the thriving tech hubs and the rural or less developed areas. Big differences in network access, computers and schools, even basic AI awareness.
And that's where the devil's advocate jumps back in.
Yep. Asking whether this whole startup nation concept is just a kind of digital mirage benefiting a connected elite.
While smaller businesses struggle and essential public services lag behind.
That's the uncomfortable question being posed. It really challenges the equity of this whole transformation. So the takeaway is, intentions are nice, but Morocco needs concrete results, local infrastructure, and serious efforts to bridge that digital divide.
Okay, that paints a complex picture. But then there's the Del Morocco report, which sounds, well, darker.
It is. It brings a really stark human cost into view. It talks about Del Morocco quietly reducing its workforce.
Due to AI.
That's the rationale given AI-driven strategic transformation. Basically, experienced employees being replaced by algorithms and automation.
Wow. And this was happening while Dell was at GTEx showcasing AI solutions.
That's the really jarring contrast highlighted in the report. Promoting AI infrastructure on one hand, while quietly letting go of staff, apparently without much communication or support, on the other.
That raises some serious ethical questions. Is the AI serving people or are people serving the AI?
Exactly the point. And the devil's advocate picks up on this, worrying about the sort of social fallout hidden behind corporate jargon like AI transformation.
And questioning if Morocco negotiated enough social safeguards when welcoming these big tech companies.
Right. Did they think about the potential downsides for workers? The tough takeaway here is the potential human cost of AI adoption, raising that difficult ethical balance between technological progress and job displacement, often happening without much transparency.
That's heavy. Then there's the story of Ibtihal Aboussaad, the Moroccan Harvard engineer who spoke out against Microsoft.
Yes, a very different kind of story. She publicly denounced Microsoft's collaboration with the Israeli military during a Microsoft anniversary event.
And she was fired for it.
She was. But then she kind of became this social media icon, challenging the corporate narratives around ethical AI.
But how was this received at GITEX Africa itself? The report says the reaction was muted.
Apparently so. The focus there remained very much on innovation, partnerships, business opportunities. It suggests maybe sometimes the enthusiasm for tech can overshadow these tougher ethical discussions.
Or maybe people just didn't know how to react.
Could be. The devil's advocate wonders, you know, is she a fleeting hero? A momentary blip? Or will her actions have any lasting impact on the bigger picture of tech ethics?
It highlights that tension again, doesn't it? Celebrating innovation versus grappling with the broader societal and ethical consequences.
Definitely. Which leads nicely into the next section the report calls the Digital Star Wars.
Sounds traumatic. What's the idea?
It frames AI development and control not just as tech progress, but as a global competition, a power struggle.
Okay, so nations vying for dominance in AI.
Exactly. And in this context, Morocco is trying to carve out its own path, focusing on AI that understands the African context, trying to reduce dependency on the huge global tech giants.
Through initiatives like AI Escapade. We'll get to that, I assume.
We will. But the report points out the huge challenges in achieving true digital sovereignty. You need local chip manufacturing, national data centers, supercomputers, things Morocco doesn't really have at scale yet.
So there's a risk of just being a minor player or even just a backdrop in this global AI race.
That's the concern the devil's advocate raises. Can Africa be more than just a market or a testing ground? The core point is AI as a global battlefield, with Morocco trying to find its footing.
Let's talk about AI Escapade then. That's the locally developed AI from Arabet Holding.
Yes. It's pitched as AI trained and hosted locally, specifically designed for African needs and contexts.
So not trying to be the next ChatGPT, but something more relevant.
Precisely. The aim is relevance, understanding local nuances, like detecting specific types of financial fraud common in Tangier, or generating conversational scripts that actually sound natural in Dakar or Niamey.
The founder talks about avoiding digital colonization, right?
It's a very strong phrase. It speaks to this desire for technological self-determination, building AI that genuinely speaks African.
But the devil's advocate has doubts.
As always, questions about scalability, long-term sustainability, competitiveness. Can these local initiatives really thrive without a full supporting industrial ecosystem? The chips, the data centers we just mentioned.
So a promising attempt at relevance, but facing big hurdles.
That seems to be the gist. The potential's there, but the viability questions linger.
Okay, shifting gears slightly, there's a profile of Azel Arabi Hasibi, the head of the Telecom Regulatory Agency, ANRT.
Right, described as a quiet but impactful figure, working behind the scenes.
On what kind of things?
Crucial stuff, really. The 5G rollout. Arbitrating disputes between telecom operators, planning fiber optic networks, updating legal frameworks, all the essential plumbing of the digital age.
His philosophy is regulate to innovate.
Yes. He believes regulation isn't a barrier, but actually something that can foster innovation and growth in the tech sector, provide a stable playing field.
Seems reasonable, but the devil's advocate isn't entirely convinced.
Raises concerns about transparency and inclusivity. If regulation happens too quietly, does everyone get a say? Is the focus too much on the big players, potentially neglecting smaller companies or underserved regions?
So the regulator plays a key, if low-key, role, but questions remain about how broad and transparent that regulation really is.
Exactly. It's about the nuances of governance in the digital sphere.
Now let's move into some of the specific applications showcased at GTEx. Augmented HR with AGIRH.
Yes, this is about AI entering the human resources space. AGIRH showcased software designed to predict talent needs and optimize HR processes.
Using AI for recruitment, skills forecasting, what's the term? GPEC.
GPEC, yeah. Basically predicting future skills needs in a company. And also AI-assisted payroll management. The goal is to turn HR data into a strategic asset.
Sounds efficient, maybe a bit cold.
That's precisely the devil's advocate's concern. Is augmented HR just a fancy term for an approach that reduces people to data points, losing the human touch?
So AI in HR, potential efficiency gains, but also potential dehumanization.
That's the tension. Similar questions arise with Siege Copilot.
Ah, the AI assistant for finance aimed at SMEs.
Right, trying to bring sophisticated financial management predictive insights, connected accounting to smaller African businesses. Sage has been in Morocco a long time, aiming to dominate this African market for accounting data.
What's the worry here? Accountants becoming obsolete?
The devil's advocate flags that concern, yes. A potential silent shift where AI overshadows human expertise, maybe even that local financial intuition that accountants often have.
So helpful tools for SMEs, but potentially disrupting a whole profession.
It's a recurring theme, isn't it? The double-edged sword of AI.
Definitely. What about digital inclusion? We touched on the divide earlier.
Yes, there's a specific report on this, starkly titled, something like Digital Inclusion, the PowerPoint version, What About the Villages?
Ouch. So highlighting the gap between the talk at GTEx and the reality.
Exactly. Contrasting the slick presentations about a digital nation with the persistent lack of connectivity and basic resources in many rural communities.
It's not just about being connected or not, but the quality of connection.
Right. The report suggests the digital divide is evolving into a kind of stratification.
Yeah.
Different tiers of digital access and opportunity.
And the devil's advocate views digital inclusion as a myth.
Perhaps too strong, but definitely skeptical. Sees it as potentially a well-packaged concept with limited real-world impact outside the main urban centers. Persistent gap between rhetoric and reality.
Okay. Now, AI and mental health, that sounds like a particularly sensitive area.
Extremely. Some tools showcased at GTEx promised early detection of mental health issues and personalized care using something called digital phenotyping.
Digital phenotyping? What's that?
Essentially, analyzing your digital footprint, how you use your phone, social media patterns, maybe even voice analysis, to look for subtle signs of changes in mental well-being. Continuous monitoring through data from your devices.
Wow. The potential for good seems there, but the potential for misuse.
Huge concerns were raised. Dehumanization of care, algorithmic labeling or stereotyping, potential pressure from insurance companies.
And the risk of using AI just to plug gaps because there aren't enough human therapists.
That too. Is it genuine healing, the devil's advocate asks, or just mass management of distress? Could AI become a tool for discipline rather than support?
A really complex ethical minefield, AI for mental health detection, but fraught with risks.
Deeply fraught. Then there's a push for sovereign cloud.
Right. We mentioned digital sovereignty earlier. This is the infrastructure part.
Exactly. A growing emphasis in Morocco on digital independence, building local data infrastructure, efforts towards made-in-Morocco data centers, state-led cybersecurity initiatives.
Sounds positive, but what are the challenges?
Still a heavy reliance on imported hardware, proprietary software from global giants. And many still depend on foreign cloud providers like AWS or Azure.
So the devil's advocate thinks sovereign cloud is more of a slogan than reality right now.
That's the perspective offered. Given the existing technical dependencies, true sovereignty is still a ways off. The ambition is clear, but the practical hurdles are significant.
Okay. Another critical perspective highlighted was the invisible women of GTEx.
A really important point. This report noted the striking absence of rural Moroccan women in the conversations and narratives at GTEx Africa.
Despite their huge role in agriculture, for example.
Precisely. They're largely overlooked in the digital transformation discourse. Few solutions tailored to their specific needs, little representation.
Is it just an oversight by the event organizers?
The devil's advocate suggests it's deeper than that. It reflects broader systemic issues. Lack of access to basic infrastructure, lack of time, fewer digital rights or literacy. It's not just GTEx forgetting them. It's a societal blind spot reflected at the event.
A stark reminder of who gets left behind in these grand digital visions.
Very much so. Moving on to another initiative, the new digital disability card.
Aimed at simplifying access to public services for people with disabilities.
That's the goal, making things more efficient, more dignified. But again, concerns are raised.
Such as?
The potential for efficiency to turn into surveillance, data security worries, and the big question, does a digital card actually address the fundamental lack of accessible infrastructure, ramps, accessible transport, employment opportunities?
So the devil's advocate worries it's a superficial fix, masking deeper problems.
Yeah, potentially a tool for social sorting rather than genuine empowerment. It highlights the need to look beyond the digital solution to the underlying structural issues.
Makes sense. What about Admission Center, the AI for university admissions?
Another Moroccan startup using AI, this time to streamline how students get into university.
How does it work? Collecting behavioral data, interest scoring.
Yes, combining those with some semi-automated guidance.
Yeah.
Trying to make the process smoother.
But the concern is algorithms deciding your future.
That's the worry, the potential erosion of free will and academic choices. Could algorithmic filters inadvertently limit students, pushing them towards paths based on data profiles rather than, you know, aspiration or potential?
The devil's advocate sees it as optimizing the system for the institutions, maybe, more than truly guiding the students.
That's the critique. Efficiency versus individual guidance.
Then there's Zaina, the virtual real estate agent, speaking Darija on WhatsApp.
Right, a prop tech startup. Zaina offers virtual tours, automated property valuations, help with paperwork, all via WhatsApp in the local Arabic dialect.
Sounds potentially useful. What are the caveats?
Accessibility for people who aren't constantly on WhatsApp or don't have reliable internet. And how much can a virtual agent really protect vulnerable tenants in disputes?
The devil's advocate worries it's a cold Uberization of the housing market.
Yeah, potentially overlooking the very human, often difficult relationship between tenants and landlords. Efficiency potentially overriding empathy or protection.
Okay, lots of specific examples. WayLearn VR for construction training.
Interesting concept. A Moroccan startup using virtual reality headsets for training in trades like plumbing, electrical work, etc. It uses gamification, tracks behavior.
But can you really learn hands-on skills in VR without actually touching the materials?
That's the big question raised. How effective is it compared to real-world experience? What about the importance of physical interaction, learning from a mentor side by side?
So the devil's advocate suggests it might be about cutting training costs.
Potentially leading to people getting certified without having truly mastered the practical physical skills needed on a real job site, a potential gap between virtual competence and real-world capability.
Right. Another health tech example, AI and endometriosis.
Yes, a startup using AI to tackle this often underdiagnosed condition affecting women. The idea is AI could analyze biological data, medical images, to speed up diagnosis and personalized treatment.
Which sounds potentially revolutionary for sufferers.
It does. But the devil's advocate asks, is this sudden tech interest driven by genuine concern for women's health or more by the market opportunity of femtech?
Ah, the instrumentalization of feminism by technology concern.
That's the perspective. Is tech using a real health issue primarily as a business opportunity without addressing the fundamental lack of medical understanding or support for the condition itself?
A cynical take, maybe, but worth considering motivations.
Always. Then there's Husni Job, the social startup for digital skills training.
Aimed at unemployed youth, people looking to switch careers, offering intensive boot camps.
Exactly. Focusing on in-demand digital skills. Partnering with companies for recruitment seems like a positive initiative on the surface.
But questions remain about the quality of the jobs.
Yes. What kind of jobs are these graduates actually getting? Are they stable, well-paid careers, or more precarious freelance gigs? Is it genuinely solving unemployment or just managing the statistics?
The devil's advocate worries it's a high-tech band-aid.
A band-aid on a potentially flawed job market, yeah. Possibly leading to underpaid work, or flooding niche digital markets? Is it sustainable empowerment or just processing people through the system?
Okay. Try us the Darija speaking AI for small informal businesses.
This one sounds really grassroots. An app letting informal traders think market stall owners manage orders and inventory using voice commands in Darija.
So designed to help them digitalize without needing literacy or tech skills.
That's the aim. Making digital tools accessible to the informal economy.
What are the potential downsides flagged here? Data ownership.
Big questions there. Who owns the data generated by these small traders? How might it be monetized? And is there a risk of standardizing traditional business practices that are actually quite resilient and human-centric?
So the devil's advocate sees a potential hidden agenda.
A concern that behind the helpful facade, Trias might be subtly bringing even the smallest traders into a world of data monitoring and potential corporate or state pressure. Inclusion, but at what cost to autonomy?
Interesting. Ziara, the digital platform for booking prison visits.
A new online system in Morocco to schedule visits for families of incarcerated individuals. The stated goal is streamlining the process, making it more transparent.
Seems practical. What are the concerns?
Accessibility again. What about vulnerable families without digital literacy or reliable internet access? And does optimizing the booking process actually address the deeper issues within the prison system itself? Conditions, rehabilitation, etc.
The devil's advocate sees it as maybe just a digital veneer.
A digital layer on an unchanged, possibly troubling carceral reality. Automating the distance, perhaps, rather than fostering connection or addressing root problems.
Okay, nearly wrapping up the examples. Yango Ventures, a new investment fund.
Yes, launched at GITEX Africa. A $20 million fund targeting high-impact African startups, promising capital, mentorship, access to global markets.
Sounds good for the startup scene. Any criticisms?
Questions about specifics. Which sectors are prioritized? What exactly counts as impact? And do the fund's strategic goals primarily benefit local economies, or are they more geared towards global growth extraction, finding startups that fit a global VC model?
So the devil's advocate worries it's neoliberal optimization disguised as inclusion.
That's the provocative framing.
Yeah.
Prioritizing startups that fit a certain mold over those addressing perhaps more fundamental, less scalable local needs.
And finally, Vizen, the AI that detects emotions in employees.
This one sounds quite sci-fi, maybe even dystopian. An AI developed in Morocco claiming to detect micro-emotional signals from voice tone, email phrasing, even silences.
To improve well-being, alert managers to burnout risk.
That's the pitch. But the red flags are huge. The potential for this well-being analysis to become straight-up surveillance. The ethics of constantly monitoring employees' emotional states.
It sounds incredibly invasive.
Deeply concerning. The devil's advocate suggests Vizen might be a symptom of management that's lost the ability to actually talk to its teams, resorting to emotional data capture instead of genuine dialogue.
Wow. Okay, so that's a lot to take in.
It really is. GITEX Africa 2025, as reflected in these IMAG reports, presents this incredibly complex picture. Huge enthusiasm for digital transformation, absolutely.
But also this critical self-reflection running alongside it. From the massive potential of AI to those persistent, thorny challenges of digital inclusion and ethics.
The discussions in Marrakech really reveal a continent grappling with these issues. It's not just about the tech. It's about the societal, ethical, economic questions that come with it.
And these IMAG insights, especially with that devil's advocate perspective woven through, offer a really valuable way to understand these dynamics. It's not just a tech expo. It's a snapshot of societal change.
Exactly. We hope this deep dive has given you a richer sense of what's at play in Africa's digital evolution.
What parts stood out most to you? Are there questions still lingering? Because this really is just the start of the conversation.
Definitely. We encourage you to think more about these themes: faith meeting code, algorithms shaping realities, the balance between progress and people.
And maybe consider this. As AI becomes more integrated into every aspect of life, from HR to healthcare to how we book prison visits, who gets to define what progress actually looks like and who ensures it truly benefits everyone? Something to ponder.